Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. We are a Jesus-centered community in El Mirage, Arizona. We hope through these conversations your spirit will be stirred. For more information, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
We are on week number 3 of our series called Forgotten God. Much of the stirring that has taken place in me leading to this series has come from Francis Chan's book called by the same name, called Forgotten God. And it's reversing our tragic neglect of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as Chan puts it, is the forgotten God. We've been meeting on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock here at the church discussing this book. We'll meet again this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. If that's something that interests you, I suggest everyone reads this book and just allows the Spirit to be stirred in you. Chan's position is that we have largely experienced faith void of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now think about that. We have largely experienced faith void of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. There's that God the Father part we can get our heads around. God the Son, we understand that. Maybe you are a son or you have a son. But then there's God the Holy Spirit. We're not quite sure what to do with them. He says that it's left us with a faith largely sustained by human effort. Now, I've been a pastor for 20-some years. Maybe this is why in Western Christianity, maybe this is why so many Christians are churchless today, or so many Christians change churches every 15 months, because we have placed a church, or let's be specific, we have placed a pastor on a pedestal, and our faith is sustained through an individual rather than through the Holy Spirit. Maybe this is why church hopping is so prevalent in Western Christianity, and it goes something like this. Every 15, 18 months or so, someone is no longer being fed, and suddenly God spoke to us about changing churches because I'm no longer being fed. Well, maybe the reason we're not being fed is because our faith has been sustained through an individual. And as soon as that pastor bores us or frustrates us, suddenly we're looking for the next person to stimulate our faith. If your faith is dying today, you may not need another church. I'm not saying there aren't times God calls us to another church, okay? But you may not need another church. What you may need, what I think you need, is another filling of the Holy Spirit. And so don't put me in the position of being the sustainer of your faith. I can't fill that role. But the Holy Spirit can. And so Chan says, we've lived a faith largely sustained by human effort. In his book, Simply Christian, N.T. Wright tells of a parable of a powerful dictator who ruled his country with an iron fist. We'll get to the offering in just a little bit, guys. Rules his country with an iron fist. The water supply of this country was in vast supply and bubbled freely up from cracks in the surface of the ground. And citizens were accustomed, in this parable that N.T. Wright talks about, citizens were accustomed to filling their cups and jugs as needed because water was always abundant. However, in the rainy season, he says, the springs would overflow and it would cause flooding. And sometimes, although the source was pure, he said that the water became polluted because it picked up human debris and human waste, trash. The dictator thought that the water supply in his country was too erratic and at times, he said, even dangerous. And so he decided to control the flow of the water by restricting it. And he paved over, in this parable, he paved over his entire country with thick concrete that the water could not penetrate through. And so now the water could be controlled, and the water that the people needed was shipped to the people through a complex series, complex networks of pipes, thus allowing the pressure and the flow to be regulated by this dictator. This went on for several generations, and people got used to receiving their water through pipes being regulated. And generations went by when eventually people forgot what it was like when the water just freely sprung up from the ground. One day, Wright says, that without warning, the springs could not be held back any longer, and the water began to burst through the concrete all over the country. Matter of fact, springs began to push up to the surface, busting free, and once again, this water flowed freely throughout the land. And as the dictator feared, some flooding occurred and some pollution occurred because, again, it picked up human waste. Right, he then unpacks this parable. He says, the water in this parable is the Holy Spirit. He says, and we in the Western world are the citizens of this particular country. And then he goes on to say that the dictator in this parable is actually not a person, but it is a philosophy that has dominated the Western thinking for more than 300 years. A philosophy, he says, that questions the supernatural, free-flowing, abundant move of the Holy Spirit. Part of this philosophy, goes on to explain, can actually be traced back to the Age of Enlightenment in the 17th and 18th century. It was a cultural and intellectual movement that is known for its elevation of reason above all other authorities. And so this idea of the Age of Enlightenment caused us to question anything supernatural, including the supernatural flow or moving of the Holy Spirit. He says that we became materialist by default. Now, a materialist, we'll put it on the screen, is the theory that physical matter is the only reality that matters. It rejects the notion of a supernatural creation or a creator or any supernatural work around us. Now, many good things happened because of the Age of Enlightenment, the Age of Reason. Much of our Declaration of Independence was influenced by this. And so let's just not, you know, be down on that. A lot of good things happen. Science and reason and all those things are good. But in matters of faith, Wright says, it was this philosophy of enlightenment that began to pave over the springs of spirituality, including the supernatural flow of the Holy Spirit, causing almost everyone in the Western world to become materialist by default. That if we can't reason it with our minds, that it must not exist because physical matter is the only thing that matters. Now add to that how we have polluted the flow of the Holy Spirit. And those of you that have been around church, you know, the universal church for any amount of time, you understand what that means. And add to that how we polluted the flow of the Holy Spirit. Many in the church would say, we don't really want the Holy Spirit flowing freely like that because things get ugly and things get a little crazy and things get messy. And so we have, as Wright says, we have domesticated the Holy Spirit who is now rationed to the people through a system of pipes called religion. And now we ration the Holy Spirit and we serve him up in safe small doses through official channels called the church. And so he gives this entire parable of how we have cemented over the Holy Spirit to keep his free flow for moving in our lives and through our churches. And this is what Chan talks about, that we have been left with a faith that is void of any supernatural move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Here's what I would like to see, or here's what I'd like to say. I don't want us to pave over the Holy Spirit anymore. I don't want us to adopt this anti-supernatural, expect nothing from God type faith that is sustained through my own efforts. I want to be open to the free-flowing move of the Holy Spirit. I understand our reservations. I understand that we have polluted this thing and we are at fault because of all types of weird activities that have been associated with the Holy Spirit. And we look at those types of things and we say, I don't want anything to do with that. And I would agree with you. I think we have gotten fleshly and we've gotten weird and we've polluted the natural flow of the Holy Spirit, but that does not mean that it has to remain like that. And so we have to be open to the move of the Holy Spirit. And if that means that things get a little messy, then I would rather stand before a church and bring correction than stand before a church that is powerless. And so let's just be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit, who has largely become the forgotten God in our lives and in our faith. And let's be open to what the Holy Spirit is speaking and what the Holy Spirit is doing. Pray as we continue with our talk today. Lord, Today's topic may be a little challenging for some of us, confusing for some of us, but Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We invite your presence to speak to us and to stir us, and we just want to allow the Bible to speak for itself. And so, Holy Spirit, come. We do not want to be void of your presence and void of your power, void of your authority, void of your leading. So, Holy Spirit, come among us and fill us again and again and again. Lord, for our giving, we present our giving in a way of worship, as a way of worshiping you and putting you first, as a way of supporting what you're doing here in our community, outside of these walls and the schools that we are in, outside of these walls with the community that we help, and even internationally with what we're doing in India. And so we give with an attitude of worship. Come and have your way among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, some of you are going to be challenged with what we're going to talk about because you're going to want to attach a past experience with the topic of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to ask you that you would not attach a bad experience, but we would allow the Bible to speak for itself as we just begin to unpack this idea of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he gives to the followers of Jesus. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12:1, where Paul says this. He says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now what's interesting to me is the very thing that Paul didn't want us to be is what we are. We're unaware and somewhat ignorant about spiritual gifts. According to one study, 87% of Christians say they know nothing about spiritual gifts. And so let's unpack that. Start with a working definition. A spiritual gift is simply a divine empowerment given to believers by the Holy Spirit to accomplish ministry and build up the church. Let's not over-spiritualize it. It's just a divine empowerment given by the Holy Spirit to everyone who is a follower of Jesus to perform a certain ministry task or to build up the church. We're going to unpack that as we go. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, there are different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit. We're going to outline all the gifts of the Spirit here today. And then he says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And so what Paul is saying is that in your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, the Spirit wants to give a manifestation of himself in a gift that will be used for the common good of the body. That's what gifts are for building up the church and for performing ministry, moving the kingdom of God forward. Look at 1 Peter 4, it talks about the same idea. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to do what? To serve others as faithful stewards of the grace in all of its various forms. So the Holy Spirit gifts you with an ability to move the kingdom of God forward and to serve the body of Christ for the common good. That's the idea of what spiritual gifts are for. So in the perfect world, all of us here today would be operating in the gifts of the Spirit to uplift and edify and build up this body of Christ is what Scripture teaches. Now, let me give you some spiritual gift basics for those of you that do not understand. All Christians receive spiritual gifts. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and Scripture says that the Spirit desires to gift you with a spiritual gift, a spiritual presence that he will empower you with, and we'll break those down in just a little bit. The idea in the New Testament, that word for gifts is charis, which literally means grace gifts, meaning that you don't earn it. It's simply a gift of grace that the Holy Spirit gives to you, drops into you. Look at number two. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents. You may have a natural ability for something that is different than a gift of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are not a sign of spiritual maturity. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts as he desires. It may be someone who is a new follower of Christ. It may be someone who's been following Christ for a long time. It may be someone who's been around the church forever but still somewhat spiritually mature. The Spirit gifts as he wills. It's not necessarily a sign of spiritual maturity. Understand that spiritual gifts are also not the fruits of the Spirit. If you want to study the fruits of the Spirit, we find it in Galatians 5. Fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This, we could say, is a measure of spiritual maturity, because we should be growing in love and joy and peace and patience the longer that we are a follower of Christ. But spiritual gifts and fruits of the Spirit are not the same. And then finally, understand this, that spiritual gifts are not something to fear. They're not odd and creepy. Now, some of the people who function in spiritual gifts are odd and creepy. I'll give you that one, okay? But I want to bring this down to where we can be naturally supernatural, right? That we can be naturally supernatural, regular people who are being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to unpack this and hopefully bring some clarity to it. Now, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, there are three main passages in Scripture that talk about them. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. I want to read two of them to you. Let's look at Romans 12. That's talking about the gifts of the Spirit that all of us receive. It says that we have different gifts, meaning everyone in this body is given a different gift. According to the grace given to us, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If your gift is serving, then let him, or we would say her, serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, then let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, then let him do it cheerfully. Paul begins to unpack this idea of the different functions of the gifts. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, he elaborates again, this time to a letter to a different church, to the church of Corinth. He says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and to another the message by means, to the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another there's faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers, and to another, prophecy, and to another, distinguishing between spirits, and to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these things work of one and the same Spirit. He gives to each one just as he determines, meaning that the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, and he's the one that decides it. Now, I'll go ahead and put up that slide there so you can take a look at. These are the main spiritual gifts that we read about. There's some that others would say expand this list, but there's prophecy, helps or service, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leadership, mercy, administration, word of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of being a pastor, and the gift of evangelism. Now, these gifts are not for the spiritually elite. They are for anyone who is a follower of Christ. Here's what I want you to understand. The Holy Spirit is the distributor of all of these gifts. So at one moment, he may gift you with a spiritual gift of generosity where you just have this overwhelming urge to support or to give something to someone who was struggling. We had somebody who had gave an overwhelmingly generous gift to someone in the church who was struggling. It was a spiritual gift of generosity that was dropped upon them for a situation. You may have the Holy Spirit stir in you the gift of generosity at one moment, and a week later, he may give you a gift of mercy or may give you a gift of discerning of spirits, meaning this, that the whole that our role is really to just show up, and the Holy Spirit will give us often the gift that is needed to accomplish the task. Think of it this way. Showing up to a job site with an empty toolbox, and the Holy Spirit will put the tool in the toolbox that is needed for you to complete the job. So the role for all of us is that we are open to the Holy Spirit gifting us for whatever the task would be. In other words, we cannot say, well, I don't have a gift of mercy, so screw you. Unbiblical, right? We can't say something like that. We have to be open to the Holy Spirit giving gifts as he determines. And so that gift, we can't say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I never share my faith. Well, we place ourselves in a position to share, allowing the Holy Spirit to gift us a supernatural empowering to further the kingdom of God. And it is my belief, and because Scripture teaches us, that the Holy Spirit wants to impart those gifts in every person here. And so our job is to show up willing to do whatever is before us. The Holy Spirit's job is to gift us with what is needed. Now, what you may find is that after you are showing, we're winging this at this point, so there's no slides back there for you, so just relax. If you show up for the job, what you may begin to find is that repeatedly over a lengthy period, that you may find that the Holy Spirit is using you with the gift of mercy quite often. And you may actually develop a ministry of mercy because the Holy Spirit, for whatever reason, as he desires, is gifting you with a gift of mercy repeatedly over and over and over and over again. You may find out that you have an ongoing gift of evangelism and sharing your faith. You may discover that you have an ongoing gift of being a pastor. The way I discovered this call on my life was started off by leading probably six middle schoolers in junior high. And the Spirit would gift me with the ability to pastor and to care for them. And then it led into leading a small group. Wasn't even thinking necessarily about being a pastor someday, but the Spirit gifted me in this. And then over repeatedly, time and time again, where I started to see that, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of gifting me in this area of being concerned and loving people. Same with this gift of teaching. That the Holy Spirit may continue to gift you in a particular ministry and you may, or a particular way, and you may actually step into a ministry that involves that gift. Does that make sense? But you will never know unless you're willing to show up with an empty toolbox and just say, Spirit, what do you need for me today? Had some people tell me recently just about how the Holy Spirit's been working in them and through them at work and in various situations. And all that's happening is they have a new awareness of the Holy Spirit in them, and their constant prayers, Holy Spirit come, Holy Spirit move, and the Holy Spirit is gifting them for the various tasks that he is placing in front of them. So some of us here in this church, many of you that I know well, I can call out and tell you what your gifts are. There are some people in our church. Let me give props to Patrick Liedebrand. He leads our usher and greeters. Patrick has an incredible spiritual gift of helps and service. And we were, this is just a recent example. Wednesday night, I think we had 35 plus people show up. We probably had 20 chairs. And every time somebody came in, the first person up, Patrick's grabbing chairs, pulling them out, setting them up for people. Sit down, he'd relax. More people come in, he's pulling out more chairs. Constantly. Now, there were others as well, and props to you, but I've seen this in him over and over and over and over again. There is nothing in the Bible that says you have the spiritual gift of setting up chairs. But there is this idea of spiritual gift of helps. There's other people. Mike Schuessler has a spiritual gift of helps. If something needs to be done, that man will be there and he'll figure out a way to get it done, even to his own hurt, right? He's the guy that cleans this place. If you don't want it to be a pigsty, you can thank him, right? There's no spiritual gift of cleaning the church, but there is a spiritual gift of helps and a spiritual gift of service. There's a lady who is in my wife and I, she was in our family's lives, and still is to some degree, who had an incredible gift of encouragement. And every time you were around her, she was constantly saying, you're amazing in what you're doing, and God has a spirit on you, and God has such great things for you, and you're doing such a wonderful job with your children, and you know who I'm talking about. And there were times she could even get annoying. If you catch me at the wrong time, and you are overly encouraging, I'm just like, back off just a little bit, right? Well, this person came to church. I haven't seen him for a while in a church setting. Came to church last week. She was a vocal teacher of mine and came to church and came up and I did a double take and said, you got to hear my old raspy voice. And you know what she did? Stepped right into the encouragement and just went, it's a spiritual gift of hers. Stepped in and just started, oh no, it was so fantastic and the Spirit of God is moving through. And it's like, bam, bam, bam. There's a spiritual gift of it, right? Listen. I'm telling you, as a follower of Christ, don't pave over the Holy Spirit and just say, I don't get it. And so I'm just going to kind of, this human sustained faith, that's not enough for us. And so what does some of this look like for you? Have you ever felt in this thing of discerning of spirits, have you ever met someone and you thought, there's something wrong, right? There's a spiritual gift of discerning of spirits there. Where you just thought, I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what's going on, but there is something wrong. I was in Panera yesterday working on my message, sitting at a booth, and a mother and son came in and sat down. And you're going to think this is weird, but she said one phrase to her son that was something simple. I got that for you out of one of my birthday presents. And I'm, which is nothing there, and I felt in my spirit there was something wrong in this relationship. And within minutes, this thing dissolved to the mother dropping F-bombs on this child and just bam, bam, to the point of where several times I was like, I got to get up and say something. And then it would always kind of subside a little bit. Listen, there is a spiritual gift of discernment where sometimes you just know, you know, where it's like, I don't need to go there today. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what it is, but that's the Holy Spirit dropping a gift on you. Some of you, you have the gift of administration. I don't have that gift, and I need your help, right? Goodness, I'm always last minute on everything. And so what is the Holy Spirit stirring in you? Your job is to show up with an empty toolbox. His job is to gift you with what is needed for the task. And if you're willing, he will gift you for what is needed. Now, there is no way we're going to finish this talk today. All right, we'll just keep rolling, and I got a place we're going to break here. Now, we run into conflict immediately. The conflict is not with the gifts in white. Everyone is like, yeah, spiritual gift of help, service, teaching, exhortation, discernment, pastor, evangelist, those are all great because we can wrap our minds around those things, right? The struggle and the division in the church at large is the gifts that are in yellow. Now, there are two camps in Christianity today. One camp is what is known as cessationism. Cessationists, we'll put it on the screen, they believe this. The belief that certain gifts, the sign of the miraculous gifts, go back really quick, go back slide, all of those in yellow. Cessationists would say that the gifts are still in play, but all of the gifts in yellow, they no longer exist. And they will say, go to the next slide again. They would say that all of these gifts ceased with the apostolic age around 100 AD when John died. And they would say that those gifts died out around 100 AD. And so now the Holy Spirit, he still gives those other gifts in white. We can get our head around those. But the gifts in yellow are just, you know, and part of it is this whole thing paving over the Spirit because reason is key. And if we can't get our minds around it, then we try to divvy out the Holy Spirit in little doses that we can understand. And so cessationists would say, well, the Holy Spirit just doesn't move like that anymore. Now, they will say that God is still able to perform miracles, but God does not use individuals in the miraculous way anymore. They would say that the Holy Spirit, go back to the next slide, they would say the Holy Spirit or that God can still perform miracles, but the Holy Spirit does not give a gift of prophecy. There are not gifts of words of knowledge. There are not gifts of healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, that all of those things have ceased with the apostolic age. And they would point to a well-known passage in 1 Corinthians 13 that we're going to read, where Paul says this, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, other translation says when completeness comes or when perfection comes, the partial will pass away, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So Paul says, look, a time is coming where these such gifts as prophecy and tongues and a divine word of knowledge, that those things will pass away. Now, cessationists would say, the perfect, and this is what this entire passage hinges on, verse 10. They would say that when the perfect comes, their translation of that is Scripture. And so that they would say that when the perfect comes, that was the canonization of Scripture, the gathering of the books of the Bible as we know it today. They would say that when the perfect comes, when Scripture was canonized, that was the perfect, and now prophecy, tongues, words of knowledge, miracles, all of those things passed away with that because it's no longer needed because now we have the canonization of Scripture. Now here's my struggle with that. My struggle is in the surrounding text because there's a progression that this text speaks of. Let's go to the next slide. Here's the progression. It says, but when the perfect comes, whatever the perfect is, they said, here's the progression. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but when the perfect comes, how are we going to see? We're going to see face to face. He says, now I know, he's talking about the things of God. I know about the things of God in part, kind of. I know a little bit of it. But then, or when the perfect comes, what does he say? I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. And so whatever the perfect is, Paul says that when the perfect comes, I'm going to see Jesus, not dimly in a mirror. My faith is not going to be held dimly in a mirror, but it will occur face to face. Whatever the perfect is, he says, now I know in part, but there will come a day when I will know fully. Now let me ask, anyone seeing Jesus face to face? Anyone know fully the things and the mysteries of God? And so we would have to say, well, if the perfect is the canonization of Scripture, why hasn't these other things happened? The perfect, in my opinion, other translations say when completeness comes or when perfection comes, is at the return of Christ when our final salvation takes place. And that when that final salvation, when we are in our glorified state, exactly, we're not going to need tongues, we're not going to need prophecy, we're not going to need words of knowledge when Christ comes. But until that time, my belief is that the gifts are still in play. Which falls into that second side of the camp, go to that last slide there, is continuationism. So there's cessationism, there's continuationism. Continuationism is just the belief that all of the spiritual gifts, including healing, tongues, and miracles, are still in operation today. All right, so listen, I got a lot more to teach on this. We just don't have time. So I think what we're going to do is... we're going to shove back the can I ask that 2 weeks, and I'm going to finish this next week because I want to clearly outline prophecy, words of knowledge. I want to talk about tongues and really how these things have been abused in the church and how I believe that they should be used within the local church setting. And so next week, I think we'll kind of break those things down. But today, here's what I want to do. Let me have the band come up. We're going to go just a few more minutes. I want to pray over you to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what He might have for you. And I want to pray that you would begin to step into whatever the role is that the Holy Spirit has for you. Some of you already know what those gifts are. Some of you don't. And I just want us to be bold. And look, we can pave over this right now and say, well, this is where it gets a little uncomfortable, Pastor. I don't know what's going to happen. And what if nothing happens? That's what I'm thinking. What if nothing happens? And I'm standing, whatever. I still get a paycheck. So I'm joking. And so I want to allow space for that. Now, some of you who, you know, you've been around a while, I want you to be open to the Holy Spirit impressing on you. Maybe He wants you to pray for someone and have some type of encouraging word for them. I want you to be open to a word of knowledge and have a word that would encourage them and speak into their being and what they may be struggling with. Next week, I want to give examples and we'll tell some stories and all that. On what this looks like. So don't miss that, and we'll kind of unpack this a lot more. But for now, I want us to just take a moment, and I want us to pray. And I'm going to ask that you would be bold, you know, because what do we have to lose? Look, one of the things we discussed in this group on Wednesday, we were like, you know, we kind of have this fear of the Holy Spirit, but then there's also this unspoken fear that this is what my faith looks like the rest of my life. Nobody wants a stale, human, sustained faith. And so for some of you that are new, you don't know me and you don't know some of my theology, and hopefully you're picking up on some of it, and you know, this weird Christianity stuff, I want us to just be naturally supernatural and allowing the Holy Spirit to move. Okay? So if you feel, as we've been talking about this for 3 weeks, and the Holy Spirit's been stirring in you and working in you, we're gonna do a couple songs, and I just want you to gather over here, and I just wanna pray for you. I just wanna speak over you that the Holy Spirit would stir his gifts in you. All right? I know it's going to be awkward. I know it's going to seem weird. Throw caution to the wind. Let's not pave over the Holy Spirit's moving in our congregation. So if you could bring those lights down a little bit. And some of our leaders, depending who comes up and what this looks like, maybe you want to come up and help me pray for people. But now's not the time to be embarrassed. Now's the time to position yourself to receive from the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we would pray for all of us here today that you would give us opportunity to step into a moment where we need the Spirit's empowering. And sometimes we don't experience the move of the Spirit because our lives are so safe. And so would you stir us to maybe step out of a place of comfort and a place of risk where we actually need the empowering of the Holy Spirit upon us. And so I pray that upon our church that we would have that understanding, and that this week we would see the Holy Spirit's movement upon us. And so I speak upon you the gifts of the Holy Spirit to move the kingdom of God forward, the gift of the Spirit to be displayed in your family and at your work and in your relationships, and the gifts of the Spirit to be displayed in this church in a way that is naturally supernatural, that we would not have a faith that is simply sustained by human intellect or human effort, but that there would be a supernatural empowering, a fire behind our faith that we have yet to know. And so I pray that upon you, and I speak that over you this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, we're going to talk about the gift of the word of knowledge, all the miraculous gifts, and we're going to break those down. And hey, if that's new for you, at least give it a try. Listen to my thoughts on it. Make a decision after that. But I'll leave you with this. Let's not pave over the Holy Spirit's movement. Let's be open to the free-flowing move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God bless you guys.